the human being, insan, is an ajeeb, a very unique form of creation, a very unique, distinct form of creation, and a very complicated form of creation, a very complicated creature. And the human being is such a makhluq, such a creature, that nobody can understand the human being. And most of all, best of all, who understood the insan is he who created insan, the creator. Because the human being is the creation of Allah, and whoever creates knows best and knows the most. Let's take a motor vehicle, a car. It's a new model, brand new model, and you've got it. Yeah, you've acquired it. Now all of the items inside that car, yeah, for example, if you go to a mechanic, you go to a garage, a maintenance garage, and the technician, for example, in a normal garage, won't understand it more than the technician who's linked to the manufacturer. Sometimes you hear this regularly, that a car, if you take the car to different garages, it doesn't get repaired. And at the end, ultimately, you have to spend the money. Take the money out of your pocket and go to the manufacturer. Because when you go to the manufacturer, yeah, the original manufacturer, and when you go to that company, and then, oh, so many days I had issues and I spent a lot of money going from ABC, and 30, 45 minutes, they'll repair your car in a first-class fashion way and give it back to you and say, it was nothing special, just a part that was out of position. And because we know the parts and the faults and how to root cause and troubleshoot, so we fixed and repaired your car. Because we knew. So now makhluk, the human being that Allah Ta'ala has created, me and you, the human beings, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we are insan, human being, the ashraf al-makhlukat, ashraf, the highest form of creation. So Allah knows our fitrah, our nature, our character, our qualities, everything. Allah is so aware of us that every human being, take the millions and billions and trillions of human beings who came to this world from the beginning of time, every human being's nature, fitrah, qualities, thought processes, Allah knows every single bit, everything, for everyone who's ever come. And our style, our emotions, according to our style and character emotions, Allah gives us things in the world. That's why if we don't like something, if Allah gives us something, and we are complaining, oh, I don't enjoy this, there's nothing in this, then beware. Beware. Understand that you don't realize at the moment that the benefits of this are long standing. It may not suit you now, but the consequences of what you've got, you'll say, oh, this was right and I should have stuck to that. So Allah Ta'ala, when He gives something, grab hold of it at that time, and Allah's given it, and that's it in the story. Embrace it. Allah's given your wife, Allah's given your husband, he's fine or she's fine. Allah gives these things. It's not in our control or choice. Sometimes there's a tariqah, okay, the proposal came, is it correct or not? But when it's joint, then consider who joined that proposal? Allah. And alongside that, then Allah wants something good to happen. The husband and wife relationship, it's a long relationship, then children are born, then tarbiyah of the children, and the journey is a long journey. Yeah, and then the husband and wife don't leave each other. So despite having this, you look externally, maybe the husband and wife, they're not compatible. Maybe they're positive and negative opposites. But Allah knows that this is what you needed, oh husband. This is what you needed, oh wife. So just be quiet and be satisfied. In that same way, if you get a job, you wanted to become a different professional, and you got rizq from another career, then you take dreams, oh, I should have been this. Apart from crying and lamenting, nothing's going to happen. Straight away accept that in my qisma destiny, rizq was written in this very way. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And the problem is solved. Thousands of distresses will go, oh, look how great is his business. Look, his shops are running. And we are this, we're working here, we're employees. Don't think like that. You think and think and think like this, you'll become crazy and mad thinking. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala, what He's given to you as a duty, then you should fulfill that. Just keep on doing what you're doing without looking left and right. Keep on cutting the meat pieces if you're a butcher. Keep on becoming, if you're a greengrocer, whatever. Your maqsad is rizq. That I'm giving you my personal example from my life experience. That from my young life, we tried, we studied, and had career objectives, ambitions. There was no university in the world I didn't leave no subject that I did not study, and I went to good colleges and universities. And obviously there was an objective for the human being that I'll get a good degree, good education, I'll get a good job. There's no world university that I'm not aware of, or where I didn't study or didn't attain ilm, knowledge. I'm talking about worldly knowledge to you. But Allahu Akbar, ajeeb feeling that Allah Ta'ala said, you are a normal human being and made me a darvesh, gave me a small shop, and all lifelong I earned from the small shop. And that was the door for rizq. That sometimes I used to laugh, sometimes I used to cry, that I didn't even know that I would end up here. That how to run a shop in our generations, in our family, there was no one who ran businesses like this. There was no tijarat running shops. There were landowners in my family, or there were high level jobs. Yeah, but there was no one in our family you could see who was running a shop, etc., retail. So Allah Ta'ala's selection. And today I say, subhanallah, that I went towards jobs and I got big jobs and I did jobs, high class jobs, but 10, 15 days more than that, I couldn't sit as an employee. I couldn't work. My father was upset, not angry, that you've left a good job. Not more than 15 days did I stay in one workplace as an employee. They didn't suit me, didn't suit my character. My character did not accept that somebody should order me. That was my character of the landowner. Someone said, you're coming late, why are you doing this? I didn't prefer people giving me feedback like this. So Allah Ta'ala knew my mizaj, my style. And then I came eventually to shop, running the shop, running the business. And mashallah, you're your own boss, you're the king. Do what you want, run it as you want. And I realized so much satisfaction and there's wealth there. Anyway, this is an example I'm giving to you just to explain. The point is that a person, when he wants to eliminate his problems and worries, then you should accept what's in your destiny, that Allah Ta'ala knows me the best from everyone outside and in the world. I don't even know myself more than Allah. For example, if we don't recognize ourselves, that's what we say, this should have happened. Oh, no, yaar, this should have happened. Why? Because we don't recognize ourselves. If we recognize ourselves, we say, oh, this should have happened, this should occur, this will be giving me the benefit. So the person who knows us best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that this is the disease I had and this was the illness I had, and maybe if I had known this before, then I could have eliminated these problems and issues could have gone, isn't it? If we knew that what disease we had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the true maqsad. Our objective of life is not eating, drinking, wife, children. The original objective of life is hidayah. That we need to come onto the path of guidance, depart this world with guidance, so that the permanent life in the hereafter, which will be what? Either Jahannam, the severe fire of hell, may we be saved. May we be saved from the severe punishments which Allah Ta'ala has described in the Qur'an Hakim. So we can understand that Jahannam is a massive and severe place. Allah has mentioned in the Qur'an and Hadith the severity of hellfire. People shake when you read the Qur'an and we hear about the people of hellfire, what they'll be given, the punishments they'll be given, and the severity and the heat and the hal from maut, and permanent a person will be in that hal and he will not be able to come out. Now even this, we come out for a little while, and then Allah's Quran, time and time again, in every page we see this to explain to us so that we can make our lives better and prepare for the future better. So this is the objective of life, to get guidance. We need to save ourselves from hellfire in every way or form. Allah has made Jannah for us. We need to go to paradise. And Allah Ta'ala has prepared Jannah for us according to our nature. Say subhanallah. Allah has prepared Jannah for our needs. And there's a point here that arises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even here Allah Ta'ala has prepared Jannah according to the likes and wants and needs of the human being. Subhanallah. Remember, Allah Ta'ala knows that this man, how will he be saved? How can he be saved? How to take him out? In no way should he go into Jahannam, especially for the people of Iman. Especially for the people of Iman. Even according to their nature, Allah Ta'ala has prepared Jannah, paradise, according to our fitrah, natural traits and characteristics. For example, somebody says, I've got this natural instinct or trait, that for example, someone wants to hear something good. Somebody says, no, I need to work hard, stay up in the night, work hard. Allah has given us thousands of paths to insan through which he changes or improves. Some people are severe, and even the severest of people, they change and improve. But a person like me who's weak, and there are a lot of people today, nowadays weak, rather 99.9% of the population today is weak, are those people who are in the weak section. We want to be improved. We want to improve ourselves, we want to be better, and we want to save ourselves from sins, we want to leave sins, we want to be saved from the hellfire, the adab of Jahannam, we want to be saved from Allah's displeasure, we want to be saved from the hellfire, but we don't understand ourselves, how should we be safe from this? How can we be safe from this? For example, if you come in front of me and sit down, everyone's objective of sitting is that I want to correct myself, improve myself. You aren't coming here to see a circus clown act, are you? You haven't come here to see the monkey on the string or some animal being played. No, we've come here with an objective. I want to become a good human being. I want to learn and listen. But we don't become good because the actions are not according to our nature. So Allah Ta'ala has kept a common factor amongst human beings. A common factor that it doesn't take, it doesn't matter what human being there is, with whatever nature, habits he's got, but 99.9% of people will be weak and hard to improve for them. Oh no, I can't do this. Oh, I can't pray tahajjud if the tabligh jamaah brothers come. No, I can't go on chilla. I can't spend time for Allah. No, I cannot wander in the path of Allah. Who can leave home with the bedding, etc., to go and get close to Allah? And no, not many people do this. Not many people go do that. Oh, who's going to go? I can't leave my shop and my business. And the poor brothers, they work hard on us. Come on, sit down. We'll read the book to you. But nobody moves. Nobody wills, because it's not according to our nature, is it? Nature wants to be good, but it's not physically according to nature. I'll know that if I go 3 days, I'll get a dose, I'll go on a chilla, or I'll go for a year, or this many days. Mashallah, there are people who start from 40 days, and it ends up in years in the path, on the path of tabligh. This is the case, isn't it? That's their nature. They prefer that. But 99% are lazy like me. They want to be good, but they don't physically want to do anything to get there. They'll say, oh, it's too hard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a natural action for every human being. In you, in me, everyone, whoever human being has a natural factor inside him or her that will allow us to improve. Say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Every human being has this ability. Now what do we need to do is that the man, if he really genuinely wants to change, then if he really is afraid of Allah and he wants to be saved from hellfire, he has to have this. I don't want my shop to go, my business to go. I don't want my time to be wasted. I don't want my sleep to be spoiled. I don't want my daily actions to go back or forward. Or I don't want to spend more time on deen. Despite having all of these demands, Allah Ta'ala said, I've put a common factor inside all of human beings, even that though you've got your demands of the dunya, you can improve yourself as a human being. Say subhanallah. Do we want to be this? Do we all want to be improved? True promise, solid niya. This is our nature, but we have to just do one action that we need to realize. We need to accept that I want to change for the better, and all the problems, they will disappear. Allah Ta'ala has put nature inside us. We just need to utilize that nature. We need to implement that nature. We need to implement that natural characteristic within us. And that characteristic within us is very, very strong, very good, very, you can say, full of impact and benefit. And very quickly, very fast, with speed, and very easily, the human being can improve himself. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is the special characteristic, that a man with power and strength and energy, quickly, very quickly, he can improve himself. Very quickly, doesn't need to work hard, and he just corrected just like that. Alhamdulillah. And this is how strong Allah Ta'ala has put this characteristic and factor into the human being. And we should utilize this characteristic and common factor inside us, this element inside us. We should make a niyyah, an intention that I want to improve, I want to change for the better. I don't want to work harder than I am now. Allah, whatever good quality you've put inside me, let me utilize that and benefit myself, okay? Now, what is that good quality and characteristic? This is all these words are in reflection of the Quran and Sunnah and Hadith. I'm not making drama. There's no Jack and Rory story I'm telling you. So what's that quality, characteristic, common that Allah has put into us? That's negative. It goes negatively and positively. Ups and downs. When we utilize that common factor and quality, it can go to the positive one. If you want to become good and improved, then through that element, just like I said to you, you can be improved with ease and strength, and easily you can improve yourself. And with that same characteristic, if we utilize it negatively, then we will be worse than we are now. Worse as a human being. Why does Allah Ta'ala say this? For this reason, Allah Ta'ala has given us this life for what reason? As a test. This life is a test in the world. Allah says, at least your thinking should be correct after having iman. I want to be improved. I want to be good. I want to be safe from bad things. We should at least try this much, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Yes, we should. So what is that common factor element that very quickly has an impact? Both ways, positive and negative. That special quality and characteristic inside all human beings is that very quickly Allah Ta'ala has put this quality inside us, that very quickly it observes vision, things that we see. In other words, that it has an effect on the person when he observes. Yes, this is the characteristic. For example, cold, then if we feel cold, suddenly we'll feel cold. If it's hot, suddenly we'll feel hot. So that quality characteristic within us, that if we utilize that characteristic correct, that element correct, and we want to be improved, then immediately will affect us, impact us immediately. And it will drag us towards the good. It will drag us towards it. And the person who wants to become good, improve, better, then that quality, what will it do for that human being? It will do one action. One. What will it do? Is that any good human being, if you sit in the company of a good person, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How should we sit? Not for discussion, chit chat, listening to stories, to shake hands, gossip, or okay, I'll just do salam. No. This is not the niyyah that I'm going to the company of a good person. No. What should you do? A person should see that this man is a good person. He's a pious person. What does pious mean? What's a pious person? How is a person pious? First and foremost, I'll need to improve my salah. Will we do this? Without salah, can you be pious? No, he's a thief. Without salah. How can a person who doesn't pray salah? Oh no, he's a good man. He's pious. He's sharif. Oh, he just doesn't pray. He doesn't pray. How can that person be good? How can he be pious? How can we give that definition? No, he's a very good man. Don't say anything. He just doesn't pray namaz in jamaat, in the masjid. He's praising his father, grandfather, praising him. We should hit shoes on that person. Is he pious? An individual who does not pray salah in jamaat, how can you be called good? Oh, he's very good, don't say anything. He's a very nice man, he's this and that. Oh, just sometimes, he prays salah, namaz, but he doesn't go to jamaat in the masjid. He doesn't. So is this a small thing? A small mistake? Not praying salah in jamaat? No, he prays at home though, at least. That's his choice if he prays. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the value of salah in jamaat in the masjid is as if what? Is if you don't pray in jamaat in the masjid, your house is destroyed. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam demonstrated his displeasure in the hadith that I would burn the house down of that person who doesn't pray salah in jamaat. His house is destroyed. And we say, no, he's good, he's fine. What's the reason? Because we want to be pious. How do we want to be pious? I want to pray salah, 5 times salah, in jamaat, in congregation, from fajr until Isha. Say it loudly, 5 times salah. This is what I need to become. Isn't it? The second point is that Ramadan comes, that I need to keep the fasts. I don't run from the fasts. And that's only when we'll be pious then, isn't it, or not? Yes, so 2 points, salah, fast, third, fard upon us, hajj. If hajj time comes, we have money, we have the wealth and the health and the energy. We have the wealth and we have the energy. We don't look at a third thing, I'm not ill, I'm healthy. That's it. Quickly, people are thousands sitting, they go everything, well, no, I'll go next year. Oh no, next time. No. Severe adab. The adab all year long will be on that person, the whole year long. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you money, I gave you health, I gave you wealth, I gave you energy, then all the conditions you fulfill. Why don't you come to the Kaaba? Why don't you come to Hajj? That you need a seal on your head or on yourself to give you a stamp of approval? Why don't you come? So there's something lacking. So we need to fulfill this lacking. So we'll pray Salah. We will keep the fast in Ramadan. Number 3, we will perform Hajj. If Hajj is fard on us, the fourth element, the fourth action, Allah Ta'ala said is what? Zakat. We've got a lot of money. I need my shop to run. I need my business to run. And who gives? Who gives? If Allah gives, then Allah Ta'ala says, give me 2.5% back. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay, if you can't give the tax to the government, fair enough. Allah says you try to play and cheat, but at least keep your account with Allah, correct? Allah says, yes, that you, those games you're playing, okay, that's your games and the hisab kitab that you've kept. But Allah says that what Allah Ta'ala has given to you, this much money, at least keep the accounts with Allah, correct the balance. Allah says, I'm not asking for anything, 2.5%, 2.5 out of 100. They ask you how much, 40% maybe. They drag all your money, after they give you the money, they drag it back, isn't it? Isn't it? VAT and tax, everything's taken. But Allah Ta'ala is saying small percentage. Allah says, I'm giving you wealth and you have a desire, you want to take money. Allah says, that's why I didn't give to you. Because I knew that if I gave to you and all you had to give me back is 2.5%, you're not going to pay it. So rather than give you more and that you're going to Jahannam, Allah says, better you stay poor. At least you'll be safe from Jahannam. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So the poor person, Allah keeps him poor with hikmah. But he tries, I don't want to become rich. wealthy, and the person who doesn't become rich, he cries. He knows that if he becomes rich, Allah knows that you won't be the son of a human being. You're the son of a miserly person. You'll hide your money under the pillow. You won't spend, and you'll hide it from the government, and you'll take my money. Allah says, so what will happen? You'll Allah says that if you come into my hand, maybe if the my tax people come to your hand, maybe the tax man, you might be able to evade him. But Allah says, my angels will run after you, and they will take more tax from you, and then they will deliver you to Jahannam. So better is it for you to be rich or poor? Then, oh Allah, it's better we stay poor. So we don't do the sin of not paying zakat. Say subhanallah. So the poor person should be happy. Okay, at least I'm free from, I don't have to give zakat, because we would have consumed Allah's wealth. We're eating Allah's wealth, isn't it? 2.5%. So the hukum is this, that when Allah gives wealth, then the fourth action we need to do is what? 2.5% zakat. We need to extract from our savings wealth and give it. And if we're lacking in this, we need to fulfill this gap. So all these gaps, if we fulfill them 100%, then we can say Allah says, this person is a good, pious servant. Allah says, Wallah yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah says, I love the muhsineen. Now he's become that man. He's complete human being. Praise Allah 5 times in Jamaat congregation. He's going regularly. Number 2, he's giving me zakat. Number 3, hajj. I've given him money. He performs his hajj on time when the conditions are fulfilled. And he's keeping all the fast in Ramadan complete. So he's become a good man. And when these four qualities are created within us, then obviously that person leaves sins, tries to leave sins, the big sins, the major sins, fuzul, wasteful talk, bone idol talk. We should save ourselves from that. If we don't, then we'll go into the minus with our accountants. And then to keep the balance, equilibrium, those things Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from, we leave and we do the good deeds. When Allah has given both of these to us, Allah Ta'ala says, now you've passed. Now in the dunya, only even if you got a little bit, but he is waiting for, very quickly this man will enter into paradise. Very quickly, Allah Ta'ala says. Look at this. Yes. So now me, you, all of us, every single human being who has iman, this should be his target. I want to get to this conclusion. If I don't do this, then I should be in this position. I should want this, and to become this, what should we do? The quality that Allah Ta'ala has pointed to us, we should utilize that. What is that quality characteristic? That characteristic Allah has given. When we see a good company, when we see someone who's got these qualities, he prays 5 times salah, he gives zakat, he does hajj, and mashallah, he's keeping the fasts, and he's a good person. He leaves lying, he leaves criminal actions, music, singing, he leaves, he follows the sunnah. When we see a person doing this, what should we do? We should follow our natural characteristic. Do nothing else, just go and sit in the company of that good person. We see, my name is Muhammad Tufail. Where have you come from? Oh, I come here, I live from here. I've just come from Gujarat. Achha. What do you do? Oh, I just run a shop. What kind of shop? Oh, I just thought I'd sit down with you, Hazrat Sahib, speak to you. I heard or saw you good. This is sohbat, company. You've just sat, not for long, and the company, the near you had, subhanAllah, within a second, like a magnet, the teacher, the good pious person, he will pull on you, and his goodness will rub off onto you. Immediately say, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Aha, so this is the secret to success. Can there be an easier, good action than this in the world? And if we can't even do this, then tell me. Then that person, if he's praying salah, you'll start praying salah. Before you die, don't leave that company, that sohbat, that strong connection. Oh, never leave it. The person, if whatever he's doing, whoever he is, for example, if you're a sinner, a thief, and you steal, then go, if he's in your vicinity, in your locality, sit with that good person, so that his goodness rubs off into you. Say, look, I can only do one thing, Allah. Sit with the good person, you'll start sitting with the good person, good company, his safat, his qualities, he won't even say anything to you. He won't even give you speeches or orders or lectures or demands. Automatically yourself, you'll have those natural qualities yourself that person's got, and you'll start to pull. You'll start to pull on the goodness from him. Just like we're sitting down. Light doesn't say, I'll give you light. If there's light, you will observe and attain the light. We sit, for example, in the heat. Why does heat come to us? Why do we feel hot? Why? Because inside us, there are cells, and there's a capacity to pull on the heat, to absorb the heat. So the body has absorbed the heat. So what is that made us hot? Can you see the heat come into your body? Or if you feel cool, and you want to put the heater on so you can feel warm, where's that heat come from? The heater. Allah says, I put the elements within your body that... Do you sit in the hot climate, then your body feels hot. And if you're in cold climate, you feel cold. Automatically, your body reacts to the environment. So this is the achievement of my rahmah, mercy, that if you go in the direction of my wali, my friend, the pious human being, you'll sit there, and like a magnet, you'll pull on the goodness from him. Surah Al-An'am, Allah Ta'ala said a beautiful statement. Allah says, look, O human beings, Allah Ta'ala stated in the Quran, that those people who... with regards to my orders and the verses of the Quran, if they joke against my verses and my orders, they reject, they mock, they leave, Then go, oh, where's it written? Where's it say this? Ah, these are old things, old times, old actions, old times. Allah Ta'ala says, those people, then be careful of those people. Don't sit next to those people. Surah Al-An'am. Allah has given a warning. Why? Because their qualities will rub off into you. No, may not occur that if you sit with them, maybe you'll become a person without iman or munkar, fasiq. Wallah, a person who has iman, never should he do this action. That why is a mu'min spoilt when he sits right next to bad people, bad company? Nobody is a thief when he's born. Nobody is a thief by child. Have you ever seen a baby say, mother, don't give me milk, give me the cannabis pill, give me the drugs? Have you ever heard a baby asking for drugs? A 12 years, 10 years old, 5 year old child? Will he say, me, give me chocolate, give me milk, mom, I want coke. I've not seen a 5 year old, 4 year old child, mom, give me a cigarette, a roll up with cannabis or weed, or give me a pack of cigarettes, or give me drugs. When does this occur? When does a human being become a thief? When does a human being become a drug dealer or a drug addict or a criminal? At that time, when that human being uses his qualities and characteristics with the wrong company, with the wrong group of people. When a person starts to smoke, he didn't smoke before, he has a friend, comes and sits next to him. And he says, oh, go on, light this fag as well. What's wrong with you? Come on, just smoke. Look, it's gone inside, you'll enjoy it. Then he starts to like it. He said, how do you hold this? He said, just look, hold this between your fingers and put this in your between your lips and suck on it. And where does it end? Then he smokes 15, 20 a day. Yeah, then he becomes a drug addict. And then 5, 6, 7 years, after 8 years, when somebody comes and sees him and watches him, his uncle, mamu, taya, grandfather, and sees him, says, "Har, this child, he wasn't like this when he was young. He was sharif, he was a good boy, he was a good man. His sajda's gone and he's gone to charas, weed, crack, drugs. When I came and saw him these many years ago, he was a mashallah good boy. He was an upright person." Yes, the situation, he was a good boy, but his sohbat, his company that he went into, that spoiled him. His Quran was spoiled. He was a hafiz of Quran. Hafiz, and he took the wrong company. Then the Quran, his ilm, his hifz, that spoiled. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Those people of ilm, knowledge, ilmiyat, when they sit in the wrong company, then they leave with the bad actions. Allah Ta'ala said, Allah's hukum, order in the Quran, beware, how dare you sit amongst bad people who do wrong actions. Allah's making us afraid, making us fear. I've put into you good qualities, good characteristics, use them in the right way. When you go to good people, pious people, then your good qualities and characters will come into action. They will pull on the goodness. But when you sit with bad people, then you will pull on the badness. So what a simple way to become good. And the walis of Allah, mashallah, you can find the walis of Allah in the world. We have niyyah, intention. Allah will open the doors and show you the route to the wali Allah. That's it. You need to have a fear that I don't want to spend a wasteful life. Now, we think, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to work hard, Allah, just correct me automatically. And then Allah Ta'ala, for example, will take you to the company of a wali Allah. Just go and sit in his company. He won't instruct you. He'll speak with love with you. You speak love with him. And if he's doing tasbih, sit behind him and read salah with him. Just read salah with him, the wali Allah. I remember an ajeeb, unique incident. There was an individual, a person, and he didn't pray salah. He was a thief. You could say he was a sinful person. There was a wali Allah who used to pray salah. So he stood with that wali Allah and started to pray salah. That's it. Yeah? He was a sinner. Extreme sinner. Alhamdulillah. Watching the same color and lifestyle and positivity from the Sheikh rubbed off onto that. No salam, no dua, no talking. He didn't even ask his name. And the world was amazed that this person so quickly, the goodness rubbed off onto the... He just prayed salah standing next to the Sheikh. Nothing else. And all the goodness came into him with speed. So will we do this, my brothers? This action of sitting with good people. If we can't even do this, that means we are cooperating and we are joining ourselves with shaitan. We want to die and go into Jahannam. We're saying this clearly. So at least do one action in your lives. If we say keep the beard, and you won't keep the beard. This is the generation of fitna. Where does the Quran and lecture speeches doesn't have effect on people today? I speak honest, straightforward. Yes, now the situation is that I tell you the truth, that there's a taqreer or a speech or a lecture or ta'aleem, education, and people at the back, they're running their phones. They're running their phones at the back of the circle. Ta'aleem. This is the person who's speaking things, they're listening at the back. Okay, I'm coming. Oh, can you make this takeaway? Can you take my order? Deliver it on time, please. Allahu Akbar. Even the dua is happening, and at the back of the majlis, they're running their phones. They're using their phones. Is this not the generation we're in? This is the high class fitna generation we're in today, and it started. May Allah save us. The generation that's about to come, Oh, that's the generation of Mahdi alayhi salam. Imagine, and such a generation of fitna is about to come, and it started. That person cannot imagine in his wildest dreams what's about to come. A wali Allah, I'll tell you his statement, his announcement. Very dangerous generation is about to come. Extremely dangerous generation. Iman, deen will evaporate into the skies. And this latest I've heard from a wali Allah, I'm telling you this now. Recently. If you can be saved, then save yourself. If you can do ibadah in your home, protect your homes, your children, your mothers, your families. A wali Allah, latest statement I'll tell you. He said that that generation has started now. He said, and very quickly, with speed, fitnas will rain down. Those incidents will happen in the dunya that we cannot imagine. Today the time has come. We have to protect our iman, our deen. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Protect your iman. We have to work hard on this. Work hard on this. I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah. There'll be punishments and qiyamah for these incidents. This is not a joke, my brothers. Deen is not a joke. Life, we've arrived to that generation now. We're in that day and age. Don't think it's a joke. We want deen. Deen. Complete deen. Where Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that you do a small sin. Why are you doing small sin after iman? Allah says you'll have to account for this. And a small sin, if we take it, even that will not allow us to go into Jannah, paradise. For example, you are walking and then you see a woman. You pray tahajjud, you do dhikr, you pray salah, you do everything good deeds. And you see the woman, the female, then maut is like death. You will not go into paradise. Allah says, you did that sin of zina with the eyes. You watched that female. Oh, sinful man. And who even has a dot of a sin on his heart, he cannot go into Jannah. He will have to wash that dot of the sin. Until he doesn't clean that sin, he cannot go into Jannah paradise. Clear? So tell me, so why do we say, oh, it's a small sin. It's okay, we can do it. That small dot of a sin, black dot, that's come onto my heart. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's come into my eyes. That spoils and freezes all my ibadat. And it will not let us walk to Jannah. Allah will say, first clean that sin. And the way to clean the sin is you'll have to be thrown into hellfire. And you'll be burnt in hellfire. Why? Because you did sins in the world. So Allah says, then, that was easy though. If in the world you had done an action, Allah, straight away if you had said astaghfirullah, that sin would have been wiped away. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That's why you have to make wird. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. If you use eyes wrong, you say something wrong. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Use astaghfirullah in the world and clean your sins, but we don't care. No, 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 it's a small sin. I'm a worshipper. I'm a big man. I'm pious. I do ibadah. And I don't care about my sins. And the sins stop me from Jannah. And they will throw me into hellfire. I'll be burnt. My sins will be burnt. Then I'll go into paradise. I'll be ground and rugged and rugged. Then I'll come out of hellfire. Then I'll go into paradise eventually. And I'll have the stains of hellfire on me. This is a severe test we're in today. So what we need to do, we need to do one action in this day and age. Very easy formula, speedy formula, best formula to get close to Allah and to leave the fitna of sins. And the most powerful method today, the easiest method to become a good Muslim, the most powerful way to have high impact deen in your life, is go and sit in the company of a wali Allah. In the final generation, this will be the greatest shelter and protection for a mu'min. If we utilize this today, alhamdulillah, massive asset to protect our iman. Look, there's nothing Allah's left for guidance for us. Hazrat Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, great sahabi, the cousin of the Holy Prophet, the scholars know his maqam, Quran, hadith, the knowledge, his ilm, and the company he had of the Holy Prophet, and the sahaba would come and ask him questions. And he asked a question to the Holy Prophet, verses revealed, and he asked a question. And I'm telling you, hadith, this is a hadith. And this has been sealed in hadith and narrated by Hazrat Tanwi, Hakim al-Ummat. Hazrat Tanwi has recorded this hadith in his waz. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this word that has come, that the human being should go and take the company of a good person. Every man says, I'm good. Every man says, I'm good. So how do we know who's good and not good? Big question. And we all think in today, aren't we? Who's good? Who's a good man? Who's a bad man? Yeah, who's pious, who's not pious? Who should we go to? Who should we go to? Everyone says, I'm good. I'm the best. Yes. So, for example, he leads a lot of salah, he's good. Or he does these ibadah, he's good. Everyone has a standard of defining good. But let's take that standard that Rasulullah defined the criteria for goodness. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. SubhanAllah. Yes? So drop all your standards and definitions and criteria in front of our eyes. There's no one who's good or bad. We'll take the standard that Rasulullah, the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Ibn Abbas, asked the question that, oh Rasulullah, I ask you a question that you have stated that you should be good or we should be good, and if we sit with a good person, we'll become good. So please explain to us, who is the best of people who we should go to and sit with him? Say SubhanAllah. Look at the signs of a good person are being given now. The best person, the signs of a best person, who's best from amongst the human beings. Please tell us so that we can go and find this company and sit with him. There must be some sign. Please help us. Rasulullah said, I tell you three signs of a good person. Say SubhanAllah. So how many signs of a good person? Three. And if you find a person with these three signs, then whether your brain accepts or not, whether your heart accepts or not, whether dunya accepts or not, if people of dunya say leave him, go away from him, if dunya call him bad and swear that he's not good, but our Holy Prophet said that this man is good upon good beyond good. That's it. And we accept this person, whether the whole world is on one side, but Allah's Nabi says some statements on one side, and his statements are the best. If a man fulfills those signs, whether the whole world is against those signs, I cannot leave the company of this man. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And shaitan will come in that day and age. Remember, shaitan will come. Shaitan will say, no, Dajjal will come. He's a big man. Go to the Dajjal. Look at the miracles he's showing you. He's the best. But in opposition to him, the signs Allah will have given to the good person. Don't take the signs of this sinner. The real signs of a good person in this day and age is who does amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith is stated, only that person will save himself from Dajjal, who will have a habit in his life to follow the sunnah. Only he will be saved from Dajjal. And his practice of the sunnah, because the Holy Prophet, the Master, sunnah. What does it say? What does the Sharia and sunnah say about this? What is the Dajjal saying? And the standard of our life should be sunnah Rasulullah. Only then. So in the day and age of Dajjal, the mu'min who practices sunnah will have no worry. Whatever the dunya says, you're saying, I have no fikr. No worries, they can do and say what they want. Even if my pieces are there, but I will not leave the sunnah. Otherwise, many people will bow in front of Dajjal, and he will show Jannah, he will show miracles and magic. He'll chop someone in half and put him back together. He'll show a lot of nonsense. Lots of things he'll show. He'll say, look, I'm your Rabb, I can do this, X, Y, Z. But one thing he will not have in that so-called person, Dajjal will have not one quality. His life will not be according to the sunnah. And he will be on fire. He will be angry when he sees the sunnah. This is the sign of iman and those who don't have iman. The person of iman, when he hears about sunnah, from his eyes the tears of they roll down. And if he feels passion, his hair stand on end. His hair stand on end. But the person who's without iman, he doesn't. When he hears about sunnah, he starts sweating, shaking, gets angry. Sunnah, no, no. His face becomes red. I don't need this. This is the sign. And Dajjal, he will fall into Dajjal's trap. So Allah's Nabi says some sunnah. I'm telling you, Rasulullah said, see three signs. If you want to take the company of a good person to become good, number one, sign number one, write this on your heart. Will you write it? Inscribe it on your hearts. Allah's Nabi says, I'm saying, sign number one of a good person. Three qualities of a good person. Three criteria. Three qualities. First sign. First quality is what? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't look for anything else. Number one, sign number one. As soon as you go into that person's company and you see him, say SubhanAllah. Yes, because you see a person first, and when you go to his company, he doesn't speak salam. First, you go and see the person's face. You'll see his face, won't you? When you go to the company person, you'll see his body, his figure, his face. As soon as you see that person, you go into his company. You'll remember Allah straight away. That's sign number one. And from your mouth will come Allahu Akbar. Dhikr Allah. Remembrance of Allah. You'll remember Allah. So that person will be immersed in dhikr so much that when you see him, the good person, you'll remember Allah straight away. That's the sign number one. Who is saying this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who is he speaking about? He's telling the great sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Do you remember the sign? Memorize it. So obviously if you look at a person, you remember Allah, not money, dunya, dawla, ta'weez, wealth and money and wealth and status. When you see him, Allahu Akbar. Oh, my heart's happy. I've seen this person. I saw Hazrat and I remembered Allah straight away. He's pious. Allahu Akbar. Yes, but I saw him, yes, and I remembered Allah. That's sign number one. Ya Rasulullah was quality number two of the pious person. Okay, I've seen him. After seeing him, we have to speak, isn't it? There will be dialogue, won't there? Discussion. He stated, when that person speaks, when he speaks to you, or there's dialogue, discourse, or you're sat in his gathering and listening to him, then when you leave that gathering, eventually, then your ilm, your knowledge of deen should have improved, increased. Oh yes, I've benefited from this gathering, from his company, and I've understood. I didn't waste my time. I didn't sleep. I don't understand what it is. Where did he go? Many people come, masaleh, masail, hadith. No. The speakers, no. Person like me, jahil. Yes, at least I get to some conclusion. I might take you from the child, old women, jahil, ignorant, buddhi, old women, men, whoever sits and listens in this majlis, from whatever background and knowledge, and worst so-called or good or education, high, low, but everyone say, oh, I enjoyed myself. I understood what is goodness and salah. And this is called increase in ilmi deen, knowledge of deen. Say subhanallah. Sign number two. Yeah? So now the third sign, ilm. Ilm. Yes? So now first was you remember Allah. Two, your knowledge of iman and knowledge of iman increases. And Allah says, I will have given him knowledge. Subhanallah. Yes, alud ni'amal. Allah says, the amal of Allah Ta'ala's ilm that Allah has given inspired that wali. Remember, ulama, there are two types of ulama, the scholars. Both are alims. One is the alim who goes to madrasa, learns kitabs, hadith, mishqat, Bukhari, siha sitta, six authentic kitabs, everything. And there's a difference in the ulum. One is the ilm of the books. The other person's ilm is the ilm of inspiration, divine knowledge. Knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given. Yes, both they study Mishkat, both study Bukhari. But when both graduate and they speak from Bukhari, one will have, when the people hear Bukhari, it will be the same Bukhari that he heard. But the other person, the same Sahih al-Bukhari hadith, he'll have the depth, intensity, it will be different, better, because Allah will have given that inspiration of that knowledge to that person. Subhanallah. That's called knowledge given by Allah, inspired by Allah, and he's increased in his ilm. That's the alim. So both are class fellows, both had the same ustad, both had the same teacher, both sat on the same class and studied. But the difference is Allah's also given ilm to that student, the second one, in that same person. Allah puts the noor of that ilm to that person. Subhanallah, the light, noor. Quran, there's the noor of Quran. Hadith, there's noor of hadith. And the description, one will be the person who just looks and memorizes, and the other will be inspired by Allah. And he won't lose his ilm. He won't create fitna. He won't create disputes, arguments, quarrels, and clashes. He won't be greedy, he won't earn dunya, he won't make cars, he won't make houses, he won't give false promises, he won't fikr of dunya. He'll have one fikr and worry, that subhanallah, that my words should emanate in such a way that they pierce the heart of a person in a good way. Say subhanallah. And this ilm is called ilm-e-ludni. Yes, and this is even despite the fact that both have studied from the same person, from the same institute or person, ustad. But there's a massive difference. So then, that ilm that Allah Ta'ala has given to that pious person, so his ilm will be such, the third sign of the wali Allah, his ilm, his knowledge will be such that the effect of his ilm, the impact of his ilm, is that from his ilm, what do we benefit? We get this benefit, that we attain the fear of akhirah and start preparing for the akhirah. Soon as he says, start praying salah, do the actions. Everyone says pray salah, but when he says pray salah, then our heart will feel, I need to pray salah. I need to leave the sins. Fikr-e akhirah, worry of the hereafter, is generated and manufactured. And these are the three things. They may seem small, but don't leave his company, because you have reached to the true human being, and he in reality is the real deputy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like Rasulullah sallam, the Sahaba Kram came and sat from far and wide, the jahil, ignorant, the thieves, the bandits, the murderers, everyone at that time in the world of the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sinful people, extreme sinners. There was no principles of life. Subhanallah, but when they came in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for 1 second, he sat with iman in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much with speed and impact and power, their iman accelerated and went high. They became such human beings that until the day of judgment in the universe, no human being can come again like that golden generation of the Sahaba. Rather, so much noor went into the Sahaba. They dragged and pulled on the noor of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that if that Sahabi, that great companion. If anybody didn't see the Holy Prophet, but if a person was a Sahabi and he then met another person who hadn't seen the Prophet, then that secondary person will become a Tabi'een, the second golden generation. So Allah's Nabi, the deen that he spread and taught, the deen that made the people, the Sahaba, wasn't due to ilm or taqreer or speech. Quran wasn't there in book form or speeches. It was an easy tariqah that even the thieves, they become the best of people. Allah says, this is the method, and this quality today has not finished. Rather, until Qiyamah, Dajjal will come. The worst and evil people come in tragedies, but you need to do one action. Allah Ta'ala says that I will not leave this world empty of my walis. Go to my wali. It's your job to find the wali Allah. And Allah says to make you pious is my job, my duty. Subhanallah. So prime action number one to become the best Muslim, good Muslim, is go to the company of the pious people. So now we've learned to go to the pious person, how to see the signs of the good person. And even if then we go towards Jahannam, then we are losers beyond losers. Isn't this, brothers? Okay, let me tell you an incident, a true incident. So I'll give you some proof of what I've said today. Okay, let me give you the incident, the story. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayh, Shaykhul Arab wal Ajam, Shaykh of the Arabs and non-Arabs. He was a ocean that every school of fiqh, every person from whatever background he was, came and quenched his thirst from that ocean of knowledge and deen. Our Aqabireen from our subcontinent, there's no Shaykh or scholar who did not take faiz and benefit from him, who did not attain ilm al-ludni from him, or did not take khilafat from him. Everyone took the deputy, took the permission from him. That golden generation, everyone benefited from, to this extent, the Peer Meher Ali Shah Sahib from Golra Sharif, maybe you've heard his name. Yes, if from a Shaykh of Hindustan, a Wali of Allah, Peer Meher Ali Shah Sahib from Golra Sharif, great maqam. Even he was a Khalifa of Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Sahib, and he was a Khalifa and a deputy and had the ijazah. Imagine the Shaykh of his time, Kabir, great Shaykh, but he was the deputy of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah. And he, Hazrat Haji Sahib, Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Sahib, was the greatest Shaykh of his time. And let me tell you one of his event of his life, and that he's shared, and how authentic this must be. As a Bayezid Bastami, Rahmatullah, was a great Shaykh from centuries back. I won't go into his detail. Great Shaykh, great Waliyullah. And there was a majlis once. You know, like majlis, the gatherings of the Waliyullah, people come, they sit, those people, and they get fares and benefit. The Waliyullah sitting, people start sitting near the Waliyullah. In the previous generations, this would happen. Waliyullah sitting, Shaykh sitting. Oh, how are you? MashaAllah, sit down. They sit down, they put their heads down, they start doing dhikr. And this is sohbat, majlis. We call this majlis. So, as a Bayezid Bastami, he had his gathering, people in his gathering, people sat down, and he used to sit down, and the tajalliyat, the positivity would come down. Allah, good jalal would come, jamal, love, and a bit of sternness and strictness would come into the gathering. Sometimes the beautiful effects of the gathering would emanate and distribute to the dunya, to the world. At that time, if, for example, anyone gets a jolt of the lightning from the Shaykh, very quickly he would be benefited. We say, when is this going to come? That's called attaining sohbat, the company. And let it continue and continue. When will it take effect? We don't know. So it stated that what happened, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, he was in a gathering, and he was in Jalal at that time. High passion emotions. Say Subhanallah. And what happened that time, there was a dog in that vicinity, and he was impure, dirty dog. Obviously dogs are impure and najis. Is there any status of a dog? Impure. But even the dog would sit at the back of the majlis. When the majlis would take place, he would sit at the back. People say, oh, is a dog there? Okay. Just like we have dogs wandering around in the alleys, in the streets. So the dog would sit at the back of the majlis. And that time, the color of Hazrat, at that time, Hazrat looked towards that dog, and the dog changed. Say Subhanallah. That dog who was mischievous, not good, and the effect of the eyesight of the wali, it changes, Subhanallah, the people in that generation. Haji Sahib is writing this event. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Sahib is writing the story. The hundreds of thousands of people took faith from him. Haji Sahib, he's writing the story of Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, that when the dog was looked upon by Hazrat in a nice way, then due to the sohbat of the Shaykh, such a tawajjuh and sohbat, that the maqam of that dog changed. He was a dog. But what did he become? His maqam changed. And now his emotions became the dog, that whenever he'd go past the bazaar marketplace, then 40 other dogs would walk behind him. He had good effect. When he would sit, then it would be halaka, and all the other dogs would sit around him. That dog, he'd have a good effect. And this waqiat's written, this event, it's stated, is sad, is sad, said Hazrat Haji Sahib, that for the human being, Allah has created such a company, such an effect that no human being will lose if he wants to become good. That human being who goes, the nazar, if the eyesight and vision of a wali Allah can improve the lifestyle and the destiny of the dog and improve its status. So if the human being has this effect, then will he not have an effect on the human being who wants to become good? How can it be that a human being goes and sits in the company of the wali Allah and he has niyyah that he wants to become better and he has the right niyyah? Then will the impact not come on that human being? Of course it will come on that human being. Definitely will come on that human being. A good impact. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala, may He give us Jannah. May He destine us for Jannah. And Ameen. And we have many deficiencies. If I start counting my deficiencies, my defects, then maybe the whole masjid will become black with my defects. So how will I remove my defects? My defects. At least I should do one thing, is go into the company. Wali Allah, okay, if I can't sit every day, or at least morning and evening, sit. If I can't sit morning and evening, then okay, let's sit the next day. Okay, if I can't sit the next day after, okay, let's sit every other day. If I can't sit every other day, at least sit once a week. Okay, at least I'll go once a week. I'll have a bath, put fragrance on, good clothes on, go and sit in the majlis, listen, sit, see the wali, and these actions will change our lives for the better. For the better. Is anything wrong with this? Nothing wrong. Are we going to lose anything? Okay, if we can't do every day or every other day or every once a week, then at least once a month. Okay, if not once a month, then at least once a year. A person will say, it's been a year, I haven't done ziyarat of Hazrat. Maybe that time of the year will be such, subhanAllah, that feeling will change our lives and improve. That Allah Ta'ala says that I will strike your name off the list of people in hellfire and take you to the list of the people in Jannah. Saeed Mashkur Allah says, I will like your little bit of effort, that he had a bit of fear of me and he tried a little bit, and mashallah, this is a big punishment. This is a big punishment. A point of punishment. That person is standing in front of the ocean or a river. If a river is passing by my house and I'm still dying of thirst, then that person's a loser. He's not quenching his thirst, and the river's passing in front of his house. The river's passing in front of a house and people are dying thirsty. Why did he die? He didn't have water. He couldn't drink the water. He couldn't go to the river. Allah Ta'ala will say that you are the massive loser because you had the pious person in front of you. Unless it is to your homes, to your towns, I let the river come to you, but you didn't drink the water. May Allah Ta'ala give us His fadl, His blessings, and His karam, and His mercy. May Allah Ta'ala give us a preparation of the akhirah hereafter. Ameen.